From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. The hundreds of Americans who were elected as delegates of presidential candidate Senator Bernie Sanders at the 2016 Democratic National Convention were disappointed by the outcome of the primaries. Now, some of them have decided to revive the Bernie Delegates Network through a vote conducted by the Progressive Democrats of America and RootsAction.org. That, in addition to the strong and independent stances taken by some newly elected and very progressive Democrats, such as Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Ilhan Omar, Ayanna Pressley, and Rashida Tlaib, may indicate that progressives have an edge within the Democratic Party. My guest is Jeff Cohen. He's a media critic, writer, and journalism professor who founded the media watch group FAIR. He's also the co-founder of RootsAction.org and founding director of the Park Center for Independent Media. Welcome to the program, Jeff.
It's great to be with you, Sonali, as always.
So tell us what the Bernie Delegates Network was and what it means that it's going to be revived.
Well, the Bernie Delegates Network was an effort to have an independent force in the run-up to the Democratic Convention of 2016 and at the convention itself. So it was initiated by RootsAction.org and Progressive Democrats of America. And it was a way that hundreds and hundreds of Bernie delegates could communicate with each other and could survey, decide what they want to do, what are their priorities. They chose issues that they wanted to fight on and be vocal on in Philadelphia at the convention, knowing that Bernie was not going to be nominated, but they took a real stand against the Trans-Pacific Partnership and in support of Medicare for All. And it was somewhat impactful. In the run-up to the convention, the Bernie Delegates Network also expressed its opposition to Hillary Clinton going ahead and choosing Tim Kaine as her running mate. It turned out to be another one of the many awful choices that the Clinton campaign made. And maybe if they'd listened to the Bernie Delegates Network and chosen someone better than Tim Kaine, maybe they would have narrowly won the 2016 election.
The role that this network of delegates and the delegates in general that the Bernie delegates played at the convention was a really interesting one, because many of them were not part of the Democratic Party as sort of machinery. They had not been these longtime activists or longtime members of the party as the Clinton delegates were. And there was some, I think, really useful debates, that took place between these two factions, right?
Yeah, no doubt about it. But remember, it's our side, it's the progressive wing of the Democratic Party that's in the ascendance. And Sonali, you mentioned it in your introduction, some of the elected officials that are going to be sworn into Congress in January came out of the Bernie movement. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, Rashida Tlaib, they're both members of the Democratic Socialists of America. So it's that progressive wing that's in the ascendance. And the reason that the Bernie Delegates Network has voted overwhelmingly to relaunch in January of the coming year is to try to throw its weight around and try to have an independent force that can speak with the authority of having been Bernie delegates in 2016. And to show the progressive movement, the progressive community, and the mainstream media, this is where Bernie delegates believe we should go in 2019. I know, Sonali, you and I were together in Philadelphia at the Democratic Convention, and there was that period there for a couple months where we realized Bernie was not going to get the Democratic nomination. And there was a sense that for a while, it looked like Hillary Clinton was going to defeat very sizably this awful candidate, Donald Trump. And we felt that the right wing was going to be in disarray with people saying, you were pro-Trump, you hated Trump, we hate each other now. You know, we thought the right wing would be in disarray. Hillary Clinton and the corporate centrists or corporate liberals or whatever you want to call them would be in power, and this powerful left would be pushing on the Clintonites while the right was in disarray. That was our happy scenario once we fell down to that rung where we realized Bernie wasn't going to get the nomination or become president. But frankly, as we look to January of 2019, we see a similar scenario where Pelosi will be the Speaker of the House. The corporate centrists are going to have a little bit of power. The right wing is maybe in disarray. We don't know how the Mueller investigation is going to end up, or you know how Trump might self-destruct. But the corporate liberals, the Pelosis, the Schumers, the Hoyers, there's now this powerful left represented by Justice Democrats, Our Revolution, RootsAction.org, the Bernie Delegates Network, and all these new members of Congress who identify with the progressive community and even with openly socialist groups. Now we're ready to push on Pelosi. That's what's so exciting about these young activists that we're all going to sit in on the issue of climate change and a Green New Deal, providing jobs to working people in need while transforming the economy. Those kinds of demands are going to be aimed at Pelosi and Schumer in a very powerful way in the coming months.
Jeff, why do you think there was not significant opposition to Pelosi from some of the members of the progressive left within the Democratic Party? A lot of them threw their weight behind Pelosi, and the ones who opposed Pelosi were the right-leaning Democrats.
Yeah, well, I think you got it. Because the right-leaning Democrats were trying to depose her, and there was no obvious replacement for her on the left, the progressives sort of threw in their weight behind Pelosi to try to block the even more corporate Democrats from defeating Pelosi. It was disappointing for many of us to witness, but that's where we're at now. And the Progressive Caucus, the Congressional Progressive Caucus, which is not always strong, they had this meeting with Pelosi where they said, we want to be on these important committees. She agreed to their requests or demands, however you want to put it. And that's why there was the Progressive Caucus and the more progressive members deciding to stand with Pelosi against even more conservative Democrats within the Democratic House Caucus.
So does the revival of the Bernie Delegates Network mean that Bernie Sanders will run again for president in 2020? Or does that not matter to the delegates, that there's a bigger or a broader goal that they have in mind?
Yeah, there is a broader goal. And the broader goal is to continue what Bernie was talking about in 2016, which is a political revolution, and a political revolution that begins with transforming the Democratic Party. That's the broader goal. I think we will soon have an answer to your question, because now that the Bernie Delegates Network is relaunching, we will start doing these surveys that made us sort of famous in 2016 of the Bernie Delegates Network members and see where do they stand. I assume they overwhelmingly want to see Bernie run again. If Bernie does not run again, it will be real newsworthy. And we are already in touch with mainstream reporters, political reporters. They want to know if Bernie does not run, where will the Bernie delegates and the hardcore Bernie activists, who will they support? And we will be doing those kinds of surveys in the beginning months of 2019. So it's one of the reasons we were so overwhelmed that hundreds of Bernie delegates want to relaunch the Independent Bernie Delegates Network. It's a way that people can talk to each other and take the temperature of each other on where do we go from here. So if Bernie runs, I assume there will be a lot of support for him among his 2016 delegates. And if he doesn't run, I think the Bernie delegates who are organized together want to speak out in a strong way about who they want to see as the nominee and what programs and policies they want that nominee to elucidate and enunciate.
I understand that the survey that you conducted resulted in 408 yeses to 23 noes to the question of relaunching the Bernie Delegates Network. I'm wondering, Jeff, if you think that Sanders's leadership on ending the Yemen war is one indicator that he's getting ready to run, because one of the few critiques from the left of Sanders was that he didn't seem to have as much of a strong stand on foreign policy issues as people would have liked.
Yeah, that's such a great question. He has gotten better on foreign policy. Roots Action was one of the first groups saying, look, we support your domestic agenda, but speak out against militarism, that your expansive domestic agenda that's so popular with people across the political spectrum in the United States, a free public college education and Medicare for all and providing green jobs and infrastructure jobs to working class people, multiracial working class people in need. I mean, he had such a popular domestic agenda, but he almost never talked about cutting the military budget. Now he's doing that a little more. And if people are interested, World Beyond War and RootsAction.org initiated a open letter to Bernie Sanders that you can get online in the last 2 weeks that has thousands and thousands of signatories. And it's a personal letter to Bernie Sanders saying, we support your domestic agenda, and we'd be even more supportive of you and your whole project if you were talking more about ending these endless wars and cutting the military budget and using that money for this very popular domestic agenda that's frankly popular right, left, and center with the U.S. public, not just with Democrats.
I want to go back to the question of the dynamics within the party between establishment members of Congress and some of these newly elected members, particularly the women of color who have just been so bold. Ayanna Pressley, the first Black woman to ever represent Massachusetts in the House of Representatives, recently made waves when reports emerged that in an event with Democratic donors, she was very pointed in her critique of the Democratic Party not living up to its ideals, its stated ideals. And she even went as far as saying, do Black Lives Matter only in election years to Democrats and to Democratic donors when the votes of Black Americans are at stake? Are you heartened by that? And you know, these women in particular don't seem to take the standard route of junior or freshman Democrats. Usually when people are elected, they start out kind of quiet, they keep their mouths shut, and they try to get to be part of the culture in Washington, D.C. These women are saying right off the bat, they have a popular mandate, they're speaking out, and they're making waves.
You've touched on one of the most important points. These women are not acting like backbenchers. I mean, you mentioned Ayanna Pressley from Boston. She defeated a 10-term or 8-term Democratic incumbent. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, when the Sunrise Movement, these young activists calling for a Green New Deal, are occupying a speaker-to-be Pelosi's office, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez goes and joins them and speaks outside the office. This is not how backbenchers normally have operated. These women are not even sworn in yet into Congress. And I think the reason they feel empowered is because they know that at their backs is our revolution, Justice Democrats, RootsAction.org, Progressive Democrats of America. Who am I leaving out? There are Democratic Socialists of America, did I mention them? And the Bernie Delegates Network, that there are all these groups, we're well organized, we work well together, we have a strong agenda, that agenda goes way beyond Pelosi and Schumer. And so we see these young, as you say, women of color, Ilhan Omar from Minnesota, we see them, they're not sworn in yet, but I think they feel they're part of a movement. They're the spokespersons for a movement, and they're already raising heck, and they aren't even in Congress. So this is what I'm saying. We're at a position where the corporate liberals finally have taken some power, But they're going to find that the progressive left that wants a transformative agenda, we're breathing down their necks. And that's what's so exciting about this coming period. That's why I'm excited that the Bernie Delegates Network has reformed.
And it seems as though a big part of why they have this emboldened approach is the way they were elected. They did not go through the normal channels of politicking coming from the, you know, the very storied democratic dynasties and families, networking for years and climbing up the standard ladder. Most of them, you know, came to power through a very strong grassroots movement and feel that they have the strong mandate. They're also taking on some important issues that are often considered anathema for the Democratic Party, such as the issue of Israel and Palestine. Rashida Tlaib is organizing she's not going to do the standard free paid for by Israel tour. She's going to the West Bank and organizing her own delegation. So she's really unafraid.
It's exciting. I mean, as you say, Israel-Palestine is one of those issues you can't discuss in either the Democratic or Republican Party. And Rashida Tlaib, who's got grandparents, she's got relatives who live under the military occupation, she's not taking any crap. And there's a bunch of organizations, whether it's Jewish Voice for Peace or Roots Action, that's got her back. So as you say, these people that are going to be sworn into Congress, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a young activist. She was a Bernie activist. And she defeated a 10-term member of Congress, the fourth most powerful Democrat in Congress, Joe Crowley from Queens in the Bronx. So they don't know allegiance to the upper reaches of the Democratic Party, certainly don't need the donor class of the Democratic Party that the Schumers and the Durbins and the Hoyers and the Pelosi. So that's what's so exciting. And the job of these grassroots organizations is to make sure that these young members of Congress, these new members of Congress, understand that we have their back and we don't want them capitulating and compromising with the Democratic Party leadership. That's the key.
Jeff, it also seems as though these younger, newer Democrats, more progressive Democrats, are able to better take on the right than the establishment Democrats. We've seen establishment Democrats far too often pride civility over principles, bend over backwards to try to appear fair when they're, you know, essentially their rival party is constantly playing dirty, and just appear spineless. But you have women like Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, who are quite savvy at using Twitter and shooting back very quickly and very effectively at some of the conservative attacks against them. Nancy Pelosi and Hillary Clinton and many others have been attacked from the right for so long and have never been able to effectively stand up to those attacks from the right. The ones from the left, of course, are quite legitimate attacks, but the attacks from the right that they've faced have not been very legitimate, and they have these, you know, those people have not been able to stand up to those attacks. And it seems like this new crop can stand up to Republicans better.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, I think the lesson of 2016 is you can't defeat a faux right-wing populist with corporate vacillation and corporatism and centrism. It doesn't work. The only way to defeat the faux right-wing populist is with real progressive populism and the full progressive agenda. And I think Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and the others understand that. So they're talking impeachment, they're talking free public college. That resonates with swing voters in Ohio and Michigan and Wisconsin. They're talking about Medicare for all. That resonates with swing voters. If you're talking out of both sides of your mouth, like Hillary Clinton does, and Pelosi and Schumer, that's not exactly a way to defeat the populist right. You have to have a full progressive agenda. I just finished this documentary that I co-produced where we interviewed all of these voters in Ohio that had voted for Obama, white working class people. They'd voted for Obama twice. They voted for Bernie against Hillary in the Democratic primary, and then they voted for Trump. And so what I'm excited about is I believe that the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortezes and the people with that agenda, and I don't care what gender or race they are, that they can communicate to swing voters in the Midwest better than a Hillary Clinton can. You cannot defeat the faux populace of the right wing unless you have a progressive agenda that addresses the needs of the U.S. working class, the multiracial U.S. working class. And the Pelosi's and the Clintons and the Schumer's have not enunciated that kind of agenda, but Bernie Sanders certainly did. And the young crop, these young women of color you're talking about that are entering Congress, they're talking with this progressive agenda that appeals not just to people of color and young people and progressive activists, but appeals to white working class swing voters.
Well, finally, I want to ask you, Jeff, your opinion on a debate that you touched on a debate on an issue that you touched on, which is that of impeachment or not. This is something that I know the left is kind of discussing. Some people feel very strongly that impeachment is not the right way to go because it's a tool that the right often uses against the left. And others think that impeachment absolutely should be part of the agenda, because if we ever had an impeachable president or a president who committed impeachable offenses, it's Donald Trump. And if that is not exercised now, then there's no point having that power. Where do you stand on this debate?
Yeah, well, I co-founded with Norman Solomon, and we work with David Swanson and the rest of the team. We were part of the impeach Donald Trump movement on day one, because he was impeachable, because he was violating the Emoluments Clause of the Constitution, where he's doing business dealing while he's the president. That's against the Constitution. So I'm one of these people who believes you can walk and chew gum at the same time. You know, you can put forward a legislative agenda in the House, a progressive agenda, and get things passed. And I don't care whether they ever get through the Senate or get signed by Trump, but you can demonstrate to the US public, this is our legislative agenda. Free public college, Medicare for all, jobs. And at the same time you're doing that, you can have certain committees that are investigating Donald Trump. You can do both. And the investigations can lead to impeachment. So we believe there should immediately be these investigations on issues of his conflicts of interest, on issues of his instigating racist violence, his misuse of the pardon power. We have on the Roots Action webpage, if you click on impeachment, we have like more than a dozen causes, reasons why he's impeachable. But I'm one who believes you don't do all of one or all of the other. You put forward a progressive legislative agenda and you pass things coming out of the House and you force Pelosi to get a vote on these progressive legislative issues. And you show the U.S. public, this is what we stand for as a progressive movement. And at the same time, definitely Jerry Nadler, the chair to be of the Judiciary Committee, he will be investigating. You can do both.
Well, I want to thank you so much, as always, for joining us. Jeff, we'll post a link to rootsaction.org from our website. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Sonali.
Jeff Cohen is media critic, writer, and journalism professor. He founded the Media Watch Group FAIR, as well as he's also the co-founder of RootsAction.org and the founding director of the Park Center for Independent Media, longtime activist. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.